I'd like to settle down, but they won't let me. A fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway's my home.
Hi everybody, welcome to Talkin' Fugitive on KSAV. And tonight we're going to be discussing Season 4, The Fugitive Derailed, or Derailed Again. If you want to join in and participate in the program, you can, 800-407-KSAV, or email talk at ksav.org. Here to carry on the discussion, as usual, are the three musketeers themselves, and let's start off with the lead musketeer, Bobby Neer.
Thanks, Dave. The fall of 1966. The new TV season is about to begin. The Fugitive, coming off its best season ever, is at the top of its game. The series earlier that year wins an Emmy Award as Best Dramatic Series at 65-66. David Janssen in March of 67 wins the Best Actor Award from Photoplay magazine. The ratings are still good. ABC is still happy. And in fact, is making it clear they are already thinking about a fifth season. But storm clouds are gathering in the form of series star David Janssen, who begins making noises that he is tired and wants out of the series at the end of his current contract. Before he makes his mind up, the network offers him reportedly $500,000 to sign on again. He thinks about it, but says no. He plans to move on to feature films. Later, the producers will announce that in late summer of 67, they will make TV history by creating an ending to their series and allowing Richard Kimball to finally prove he is innocent. Mixed news for fans, sorry to see it end so soon, but wild excitement slowly builds over the planned finale still almost a year away. But this is like making plans to be in the Super Bowl because you are so good, only forgetting that you need to get to and through the season first in order to get to the Super Bowl. The Fugitive, for all of its success, is about to become unhinged. Next week, on Monday, October 13th, on the message board of the Fugitive Views and Reviews, a special memo to series producer Quinn Martin, written by our co-host Ken, will appear in which he gives his ideas of just how that final season should have looked. But right now, he's given me permission to read one paragraph of that from that memo that says a lot about Season 4. Ken writes, "Much anticipated Season 4. Suggestion: get off tiresome repeated scripts and storylines. Take the show in a new direction. Where does the series go from here? Instead of a new direction, angles, point of view, aspect, outlook, focus, and perspective this series could have taken, we are subjected to repeated, restated, recited, reproduced, replicated, retold, reiterated, recounted, and rehashed stories seen in previous seasons. Kidnapping, fingerprints, love interests, family feuds, mobsters, embezzlers, crooks, thugs, loony cops, incompetent police work, nutcases, psychotic killers, hitmen, blackmail, hermits, and attack dogs. For crying out loud, enough is enough. All I can say is episodes 92 through 118 are a complete waste of time, with numerous zero ratings from group members on our message board. Some members did not even bother to write reviews out of complete frustration." That's just a part of Ken's memo to Quinn Martin. There is much more. Check our message board next Monday for the entire memo. In this first half of tonight's program, we will discuss many of these problems. In the second half, a few suggestions that might have made a difference. Ken, in the well-known opener of the series, Kimball and Gerard are on a train headed to death row when it comes right off the tracks, allowing Kimball to escape. But whoever would have thought or imagined that the same thing would happen just 3 years later, allowing the series to crash right into a wall? You had a lot of appropriate words that begin with the letter R in that paragraph that accurately describe how things look. I might add one that begins with the letter S. No, not that one, although it does come immediately to mind whenever I think of the fourth season. I was thinking of another word, stale, as in old, tired, and seen it all before. What do you think?
Well, David Janssen was tired after 3 years. I guess, 90 episodes. And the reason he was tired is because he was in almost every scene. Maybe, I forgot the percentage, maybe in the 90% range, maybe 85 to 90%. So as a result, he was tired. And the producers, they made a blunder starting with season 1 through 3, in my opinion. And the blunder is not having enough cast of characters that could have filled the show, and then, you know, as a result, David Janssen wouldn't have to be in every scene. You could have had Gerard, you had Captain Carpenter, you had Donna, you had Kimball's family, you had the Waverly family, and Gerard's family. You know, mix in some scenes there. You know, maybe add another sister for Kimball. Of course, Ray Kimball a couple times, the father, the mother. And as a result, you could have had plenty of stories. And then when season 4 comes along, you know, open up with a, you know, a big bang episode to start off the new season. Because, you know, at the end of season 3, we had a dud. You know, Kimball in a wetsuit, you know, exposes some people by going underwater and getting the clues and then breaking a girl's heart. And season 3 just ended with a big thud. And so I think that was in April when season 3 would have ended. So you're waiting all summer. And then about September is the season premiere of season 4. Start off with your best of what you've got. You know, promote it. Get the best writers, the best director, get a good cast, and just start it right off. And they didn't. All they did was, it's just the same fugitive formula that we have seen for the last 90 episodes. Kimball gets shot, and this is number 10 at least, maybe 9 or 10 times. And he's chased by an obsessive cop. And then Kimball lands, you know, in that first episode, The Last Oasis. He's in a desert, you know, and there's a, you know, a pretty girl, you know, to help him out. Same old, same old. And they just started off the season with something rehashed. And that was my complaint. Kitty?
Well, I would agree, too, that it's evident that David Janssen told them that he was tired of being in every single scene. The problem was that what they chose to replace it with just wasn't that great. They basically lost their creativity, from my perspective. I mean, almost every episode that you see in season 4 has elements of episodes we've seen in the past. In fact, one episode, Goodbye My Love, is a complete rip-off. It's almost word for word of an episode called The Garden House from season 1. And it's just incredible to me that at this point in the series, that it hasn't occurred to anybody to capitalize on anything that's happened before. You know, you had some interesting characters introduced in the first 3 seasons. They brought one character back, Sister Veronica, but the episode ended up being pointless because at the end of the episode, Kimball was still back at the same point as he was at the beginning of the episode. And that episode could have served as a really great catalyst to other episodes. There were other great characters, you know, Mike Decker for one, and obviously Ray Kimball. I mean, we never got to see Ray Kimball again. There were some good characters that you could have utilized to bring them back, and instead we got a lot of, you know, really mediocre episodes that got rehashed. And why they decided to rehash the mediocre episodes is really a mystery to me. You know, Bob, what do you think?
Well, I have a slightly different take on this. I'm really sorry to hear that David Janssen was so tired, but I really don't care. Because he's an actor. He knew what he was getting into. He was only in his mid-30s, or was sort of like in his mid-30s at that time. And he wouldn't die for another 13 years. And if he hadn't been a terrible chain smoker, he might have lived longer. And so this is not a case of him being so tired that he can't stand to do another season. This is a case of the producers and the writers being tired. That's why the stories look so bad. I mean, you can have an actor, you can give him some time off, you can write a story in which he's hardly in there, you can make subtle changes that will help get through a season. But when the writers are tired and when the producers no longer care, that's when the series comes apart. And I think that's what it's all about here. They simply were resting on the successes they had had before, and that's unconscionable. I mean, running a TV series is different than writing a book. When you write a book, if it's a huge bestseller and you make millions off of it, you write it and it's over and it ends and that's it. Now, maybe you'll write a follow-up book. That's up to you. But when you have a TV series, at the end of this season, you have to do another season. It's like you have to write a book all over again. It's a different story, and the producers know that. It's not like it's a big surprise. So I wasn't there. None of us were there, obviously, and most of the people, just about everybody, is no longer alive at this point who was there then. But it simply looks that way. It has a tired, repetitious look to it, as if they are no longer interested. There are no compelling stories in that fourth season. It starts out, in my opinion, in a way that is not good for the series. It's not their fault, but the series goes from black and white to color, which I think is a disaster for that series. That was always a film noir series to me, and it always looked better in black and white. It lost everything. I didn't want to see it in color. I know they had to do it. It was their unfortunate luck that was the year, that fourth season was the year that the networks decided everybody had to go to color. One more season, and they would have avoided it. It's too bad it happened. I think it really does hurt. But, again, you can get over that kind of thing. I can live with it. It's the lousy writing that it really comes down to.
Bob, I mean, suppose the fourth season had been in black and white and we still had the exact same.
It would have still been a lousy season.
Yeah, but
I'm just saying it didn't help any.
Right.
It didn't help any because, and the irony of it is, you see it in color and you're almost expecting more. Oh, my goodness, now it's in color. It looks better than it ever did. I guess it'll be better than it ever was. But that's, you know, if you haven't written anything good to put in there, you'll get over it looking pretty quite soon. Color TV was something of a novelty back then. That was the year that I got my first color TV. But it's not enough to carry the series. You've got to do some quality writing, and they simply weren't doing it. Now, they did not know at that time, early in the season. I was reading Fugitive Recapture earlier this evening, and the series runs from 66 to 67, and they have to have all of the episodes for that final season ready by Washington's birthday of 66, because they start filming in the summertime. And David Janssen doesn't say he's going to quit the series until later that year. So they did not know at that time that they were going to do a finale. They knew they were going to do a finale one day, but not then. So you can't hold that to them, but that also is not a legitimate excuse. I don't care whether he's going to quit or not. You've got a fourth season coming up. You just won an Emmy Award. You think you don't have to pay off on that? Suppose I hadn't been watching the series all along. Somebody said, you know, it's an Emmy Award-winning series. Got to tune it in. I tuned it in, and I look at the worst season of all, and I go, what are you talking about? It's a piece of garbage. So they were responsible for doing that, and they did not come up with it. And
right.
I think I called the producers responsible for that. And I all of the things that Ken said in that paragraph of his memo are true. All of those things, they actually, let's face it, they had run out of gas. Ken, don't you agree they literally run out of gas?
All right, hold on. We've got to take a timeout. Ken, I think this is kind of a seminal moment. He's actually agreeing with you.
Okay.
This is amazing. We're going to start broadcasting the show in color in 2 weeks. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back to hear more about the sensational Season 4 when we continue talking Fugitive on Retro Radio.
Just daily, 9 a.m. and again at 3 p.m. when Lauren Levian talks about life.
Well, it's almost Halloween, so let's talk about sex, one of the scariest subjects on the American scene.
About Life with Lauren Levian, 9 a.m., 3 p.m. every day on KSAV.
Stay with KSAV.
I think we could do a short program called The Highlights of Season 4. Anyway, this is Season 4, The Fugitive Derailed, and getting things back on track will be moderator Bobby Neer.
Okay, if you're gonna run a best of Season 4, make it a commercial break, because you'll have trouble coming up with enough to cover that. In spite of all of these problems, The Fugitive does indeed end and makes TV history. End of story, right? No, wrong. On TV, nothing actually ends as long as there's another dollar to be squeezed out of it. But how on earth do you set a man free and then years later wind him up again, send him back on the road to prove what he's already proven? In 1993, the series returns as a wildly successful feature film, makes a fortune, and then 7 years later, at the dawn of a new century, the producers of that film bring the series back to TV. The problem is, 33 years later, the major players and the actors who played them are either deceased, especially David Janssen and Bill Raich, the one-armed man, or much older now, especially Barry Morse. How and who do you get to recreate the past and make it believable? The Fugitive 2000 Part 1, the major players and the new people who played them, 2 weeks from tonight on Talking Fugitive. We spent a lot of time in our group the past year whining about the horrors of Season 4. If the producers were still around, they might say, sure, you can sit there and be super critical. You're not the ones who had to come up with 30 new episodes after you've already done 90 of them. Just try it yourself and see how easy it is. Okay, we just love challenges, and something tells me that won't be as hard as it looks. Ken has spent a lot of time recently detailing some interesting alternatives. In the time we have left tonight, let's kick a few of them around. Ken, it's Season 4. You can do the same old, sit back, collect your money, and get away with it. Or you can take the challenge and go in a new direction, especially when you hear that the series is going to be over at the end of the fourth season. Any specific ideas?
I've been kicking it around, if I was a writer back then. Obviously, there's a fugitive formula that Roy Huggins came up with. You know, you have the fugitive escapes, he's on the run, he's being pursued by the police lieutenant. Fine. Season 1, season 2, and I guess season 3, you have a lot of stories, and also Kimbo pursuing the one-armed man. But after 90 episodes, it's time, you know, to add another character. We've seen Gerard, we've seen Johnson, we've seen Kimball. These are three main players. Start season 4 with a new character and develop him throughout the series. Now, it could be one suggestion, maybe Kimball's mother. Another suggestion is Kimball has another sister. Of course, you'd have to lay the groundwork back in season 1. But another character, you know, added to the series and maybe used 5, 6, 7 times. Maybe another character, maybe Gerard has a sidekick, and he has a different personality. This kind of breathes new life. And then you start the thread line, you know, and develop stories around that. You know, Kimball runs into Gerard's sidekick. Or Kimball, you know, has a warm time with his mother. Or Kimball's second sister, maybe the brother-in-law, and you have some angles there. And, of course, another thread line is Kimball is trying to solve his case, reopen it. Maybe a lawyer that could be used 5 or 6 times. Maybe a private investigator who is used 5 or 6 times. Kind of, you know, take the show in a new direction, new angles, things we haven't seen before. Don't just start off season 4 with The Last Oasis and Kimball gets shot, same old. You know, that story was, you know, predictable, and a third grader could write it. But if you have a band of writers who are saying, hey guys, how about something new, something fresh? I know the show, for example, the show ER, you know, they have the same old in the first 5 seasons, but what happened with that show? Some of the main characters left, and they brought in new doctors, new nurses, breathe some life, and as a result, the show went on another 5 years, 10 years. I think it's in its 14th, 15th.
It's actually, this is the last season.
Yeah.
And they're bringing back guest starring roles, all of the original people,
week to week. With new stories.
Yeah.
Not old stories.
Right.
Kitty? Oh,
Yeah, you woke me up there. Yeah, well, you know, I would agree with you on some things. I certainly think that that it would be good to add some characters, but, you know, the interesting part about it is that we don't necessarily have to create any new characters because there have been some other characters already introduced that were very interesting. I mean, we had the attorney that Donna had hired. There was the private investigator that Ellie had hired. There's his brother, Ray. There's Mike Decker. I mean, all of these characters could have been interesting to see. And let's also not forget the other aspect of it, that, you know, up until this point, and basically until we get to the end of it, nobody has any sympathy for Helen Kimple. I mean, she's this prop in the series. You know, we had many opportunities, instead of seeing an episode rehashed, you know, from season one, why could we never see an episode that had some flashbacks showing Kimball and Helen in happier days? You know, Bob has even said that he read that in the book Psycho, the book actually starts off with the murder of Marion Crane, but when they decided to make it a movie, Alfred Hitchcock said, we gotta, you know, establish something with her before she gets murdered, because I want the audience to feel something when they see her get slashed to death in the shower. And that's really how I feel about Helen. I mean, I would really like to see something more than just a woman mad at her husband because he wants to adopt a baby and she doesn't. You know, there's got to be a reason why they got married in the first place. I mean, because you look at these two people and you're wondering, why are they even together? And, you know, and not to mention the fact of his brother Ray. I think it's absolutely criminal that we never saw him again. And the fact that I, 40 years later, was able to pin a story about Kimball meeting up with his brother Ray again is proof that it can be done.
Well, I have no problem with any of those ideas. They're all great ideas. But The Fugitive, the producers of The Fugitive, have always been able to wrestle in this idea that they were not told early enough that David Janssen was going to quit the series. All of the episodes for season four were already in the can, and so they had no chance, really, to create a long-running thread that led to the finale. I say that's a lot of baloney. They should have thrown them out.
Well,
I don't care what was in the can. Because once he said, that's it, I don't care how much money you give me, I'm not staying around, they should have made it a major project to start. I mean, Ken has said this on the board many times, which is to start a thread that leads to the finale. It would have made, I mean, we're going to talk about the finale early next year, and we have lots to say about it, but it would have looked much better and made a lot more sense if they had started it about midway in season four.
Oh, I agree. I mean, and I've always and one thing that I said when we reviewed that episode, Breaking of the Habit, where he came in contact with Sister Veronica again, it's I think the episode would have carried much more weight, and people probably would have liked it a little better if at the end of the episode, instead of her being told, well, the one-armed man left and nobody knows where he went, It would have been the start of something really good if somebody had said, well, he left, but if you're looking for him, you might start in this place, you know. And she could have come out and told Kimball, said, well, he left, but it's not much, but maybe you might try this place, and that could have started the momentum towards the finale.
One of the major complaints about the series from me and from Ken Du has been that Kimball is not generally proactive throughout the series in trying to prove he's innocent. Not really. There are only a few episodes, and many of them are classics, in which he really makes a concerted effort to try to find the one-armed man or to prove that he's innocent, usually because he's seen the one-armed man or somebody has seen him or something like that. But the series is mainly only about running, about escaping, which is fine, and it works very well for the first three seasons. Well, there are a lot of lousy episodes in there, too. But it works quite well. But by the time you get to the fourth season, and I say this, even if David Janssen wasn't going to quit the series, they should have done it even so, because, listen, it's not going to go on that long. You have an actor who's getting awfully tired. You should see that coming. We better think about the unthinkable, that the series is going to have to end. Quinn Martin knew that Roy Huggins wanted it to end. They planned it all along. So about halfway through the fourth season, and this doesn't come from me. I got these ideas from Ken. You start a long-running thread, and every week, it's like old movie serials. There's a cliffhanger ending, another little clue. You'll notice when we do the judgment later on that everything comes in the final two episodes. They resolve everything. The clues come up, everything comes up, everything's resolved because they're in a hurry. Well, what are they in a hurry for? If they had started it midway through the fourth season, imagine the buzz that would have been created. Ken, I think you said to me privately some time ago that if they had done something like that, this is like, you know, you had mentioned, like people at work, because the series was so popular, gathered around a water cooler or a coffee machine, would have been talking about the series every day after it had aired the night before, don't you think?
Yeah, there's a show on right now called Lost.
Right.
And there's a lot of theories there, you know,
right.
How to get there, what's going to happen, where is it going to go.
Right.
You know, at the beginning of season four, you know, for example, that episode Trial by Fire with the witness.
Right.
That was intriguing.
Sure.
You know, the guy saw the one-armed man too. And, you know, I've got suggestions when we get to the judgment how I would have written it, you know.
Right.
There's so many ideas you could
Well, and that's
around.
Another character that could have easily come back. And, you know, when you talk about Kimball being proactive, in the episode Dossier on Diplomat, you get the impression he is being proactive. He goes to see a new lawyer, and yet when the lawyer says, do you have any witnesses that can testify?
He has nothing.
And he says no.
Yeah, right.
It's like, well, you know, why is Kimball bothering to have this conversation with the lawyer? If he can't give the lawyer anything to work with, what's the point?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, and I'll never know. I don't know whether it's that The Fugitive, unlike some series today, did not have a stable of writers. They had, well, there were a couple of writers who wrote repeatedly. George Eckstein, producer of the fourth season, is one of them, and he goes ahead and writes the final episodes. But a lot of writers come out of nowhere.
Okay,
so it could be that they never knew what was coming. They never knew what had been before. They weren't familiar with the series, which is, again, unforgivable. I mean, if I'm Quinn Martin, I'm going to say to them, you want to submit a script for this show? You got to go take a look. Take a look at some of the old episodes. You need to know this series because we've started some threads here and there, and you, like what you just mentioned, Kitty, you can't have an episode like that where Kimball says, oh no, I don't have any witnesses. I mean, it's ridiculous. And that's because the writer, I have no idea, he probably didn't even see the show. So that's the problem with it. There has to be a link to the past. And all the way through this series, they made a concerted effort to never recognize what's happened before. Every week is a new story. It works well. At the beginning, it's not a problem. It's not a big deal. But you know, when you start to run out of gas at the end, and you're heading for the final episode, that's when it catches up to you. That's
right.
When you get in trouble.
And we are out of gas here right now, and out of time. But it's only temporary, for we will be back in 2 weeks. When once again we'll be talking about the greatest dramatic series in the history of television, The Fugitive, with the Three Musketeers. I gotta be careful not to say Three Stooges. I hope all of you will join us then. Once again, talking Fugitive here on Sherrivision Radio.
Loved you so much. I loved you so much. Stayed around when I should have moved along. I've been a long time leaving, but I'll be a long time gone. Hello, Highline, hello, Highway. Here come a big old semi my way. Picked up my phone to the truck on the streets going by, looking like a fly with a big leg on my Levi's. I've been a fool. I've been a fool.